Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Another fiery day in court, day number 14 in the trial of Karen Reed. And we're going to take a look at some of what went down today in the hood of Karen Reed in Canton. It's going to be interesting to see where this continues to go. Be sure to, in the comment section, let us know your thoughts on the case, where you think it's going, and, you know, be civil, be normal. Don't be a crazy harassing person and you won't get booted. We'll actually have conversation. That's what we're trying to do here. You watched more of it than I did today, because I was doing a thousand other things. What was your takeaway so far?
So I'm a little fascinated with the Michael Proctor issue that it keeps coming up, because I think that is what could get her exonerated from all of this. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I'm not an attorney, but my gut, I sometimes go with my gut on things. And I feel like this is the one piece that could sit with the jury, and they brought it up today. Buchanek is still on the stand, and they were talking about the Michael Proctor problem, the text messages, and the fact that in Michael Proctor's job performance evaluation, they talked about what a great employee he was.
Yeah.
And when you look at these text messages, was he acting honorably during this investigation? I mean,
no.
Oh, they've got some answering to do, because she may have done this. Mm-hmm. She may have hit him and killed him.
Yeah.
But this was a really botched investigation. It was terrible, horrible. And should she get off because of that? I don't know. Maybe.
But her own admissions is what, in my opinion, sink her. I don't know how many times she has to say it in every which way for people to go, oh, maybe she's on to something. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
and I get that.
It's without all that. Yeah. I think she had an argument, but her consciousness of guilt is stunning. I mean, it really is stunning. Over the weekend, I put together a couple of pieces that are on my X or Twitter. It's at Tony, T-O-N-Y-B, pod. That's my Twitter handle. I don't know why it's been like that for years, and I'm just recently using it again. And it was stunning the amount of clips I had to put to pull out and get into my time sequence. We got like near 20 minutes of just straight Karen Reed nonsense. And that was just pieces of it, because it was trying to grab all the contradictions from everything that she's said on anything.
And there's been a lot of that.
Yeah. I mean, I put two pieces together on it. I'm trying to remember, the one was about the drinking, which was all too easy to do. And then the other one, what did we do about that?
Karen, and there was a lot of drinking.
Yeah. Oh, okay. This was, I saw him going to the house, because she said that outside of court the other day. And then, because it goes, when Karen Reed says, and then it says her thing outside the courthouse the other day, what she really means is, and then it just goes into this and this and this and that. And it kind of walks you just through the timeline of all the different ways she said this. So I get people are like, well, in the moment, the heat of the moment. Yeah, I get it. The heat of the moment. I don't know that you can take a ton of things super seriously in the heat of the moment. But the fact that a lot of these things were not said in the heat of the moment, they were said years later in documentaries. So, yeah.
I think it depends, Tony, on what resonates with the jury.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, and this might be the hill I die on, but I feel like I have an expectation of our law enforcement, and that expectation is that they are professional and act with our best interest in mind. Mm-hmm. And they did not do that. Whether she's guilty or not, I mean, your Miranda rights, all this shit goes out the window. That's the way our legal system is supposed to work. And I just see this humongous error here and breach of trust.
I mean, but the Miranda rights have nothing to do with this trial.
I'm saying there is procedure and integrity that needs to be followed.
Yeah.
It's the foundation that our system relies on. We're fucked.
It seems like the procedure, the FBI did look into them and investigated the whole thing, and they did find some areas that, certainly wasn't a great investigation. But as far as anything like being contaminated or anything being, I mean, and after hearing the testimony of why they had stuff in Solo cups, and it all made sense. You're in the middle of a blizzard, and it's very much it's either this or we're never going to get it. So let's get what we can and then get it properly stored where it should be. I get that. That doesn't seem like rocket science. It seems very reasonable and not like a cover. So Michael Proctor is a horrible person for what he said. But at the end of the day, was the rest of the investigation, where's the parts that were, horribly flawed? There's an argument about the taillight and the Sally port. And it certainly comes off weird and somewhat conspiratorial that it's a inverted image. They have shown, though, I believe, that this is how their camera works and how anything that's ever been pulled has been like that.
With the camera.
I would think just for the purpose of court, you would correct it, though. Just don't leave yourself open for this to look questionable, because it does. I don't know if that's just a doofus not thinking or if that was on purpose. I could see it either way. I mean, nobody wants to look bad in this, but at the end of the day, the conspiracy theory just doesn't add up. And It just doesn't. I mean, was there some bad police work? Yes, but it's not a get out of jail free card, though, either, if all of the evidence points to you having done this, including yourself, including your father, even saying, you know, she told me, I believe I struck something or something very similar, like the morning of.
And I think, and you, the point that I think you're getting at is, you know, it's her own admissions that are causing the issues.
Yes.
If she had not opened her trap door, her mouth,
she could be factually innocent.
Yeah, she could be. And then you throw in the police work and all of that. So I'm kind of going on some old information in my brain. Like, I still feel like they fucked this investigation up big time.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
But so I guess I'm curious to see which way the jury is going to go. Are they going to see that this was such an egregious breach of trust that they can't really convict her, even though it kind of is leaning that way? She was drunk.
I'm not in any way supporting Michael Proctor, but at the end of the day, he said bad words to some of his friends about someone, and he shouldn't have. But at the end of the day, does that alone completely derail the investigation? There's a lot of people involved in this. It's not just Proctor, you know, being Inspector Gadget and he's doing every single thing. He's playing a piece of the puzzle. One of the pieces isn't fitting because it's really fucked up, and that's Proctor. But does that mean the rest of the puzzle is bad and all of these other pieces that are working are bad? I don't think it does. But the conspiracy is everything's bad and everyone's conspiring. So, of course, then everything, you know, would have to be bad. So, and the reality is it's neither. It's neither. It's, look, this is a horrible accident. She was drunk. She didn't know what to do. She did the wrong thing, panicked and fled, and then tried to get reassurance by calling him over and over. I get the psychology of it. But she did the wrong thing, and that has some responsibility to it.
And some consequences. Absolutely.
And consequences to it. Whether she thought he was or knew how gravely injured he was, I don't know that she did know that, but I do believe she saw him stumbling around, and that's why we'd use the word, you know, gravely. He didn't look gravely injured.
Yeah.
Why would you even say anything about that? He looked fine, not gravely injured, or not gravely injured. It just doesn't, none of it adds up. So she knew something happened. She told her dad she believes she struck something. And no, that's not talking about the car. You can watch the full clip of that interview. They are specifying when she's out in front of the house. People like to spin that the other way, too. But, yeah, she's incriminated herself way too much. And it didn't have to be this. I think she'd be out a free woman by now had she just, I don't know, been more honest with herself about it.
Or, like I said, closed her word hole. She just needed to shut the fuck up.
That too. And I wonder just how much, you know, the attorney steered her down that road of we really should go for this. And she just kind of went with it because she's trusting these guys are, you know, even one of the first things Yannetti said, you know, in the early headlines, I don't have it directly in front of me, but it was... I believe the word accident was used, or something very, very close to it. But it was very much like this is not anything intentional. And then kind of that shifted very shortly after to not only not intentional, but nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's take a look at some of the clips. This is Yuri Brennick. Buchanek.
Buchanek, yep. Yuri Buchanek.
And we're going to be looking at some of the evidence being opened up. This is some of John O'Keefe's clothing that we're going to be seeing here and listening to.
And I sure have some thoughts about this, too. Like we're getting the first look at some jeans that he was wearing that night.
Mm-hmm. Can you look at the back of the pants, please? as part of your investigation and the significance of the evidence, did you consider any debris on the back of the pants as part of your analysis?
Yes, the grass stains on the left, the appearance of the...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The appearance of the staining that's taken place or had taken place on these jeans was significant in the fact that it appears to be green and grass stain.
What did that suggest to you as part of your evaluation of your investigation and the decisions that you made after?
It suggests that Mr. O'Keefe impacted the grass area with his left glute transferring green staining onto his pants.
Are you or do you know from your investigation the amount of snow that was on the ground at about 12:32:09 to 12:32:12 on January 29th of 2022?
Yes, based on my investigation and review of video from surveillance footage, it appears to be very little to a coating of snow in some areas.
You could repackage that for us, please?
Yes, sir.
Joe Keith's pass.
That's got to be really eerie to be sitting there and seeing a pair of jeans that man who died was wearing, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I have just a few final questions for you, Trooper McKenna.
Yes, sir.
You were asked questions about interviewing Brian Higgins.
Yes.
And you shared with us that he provided you a number of text messages between him and the defendant.
Yes.
You began to explain that you vet information during your investigation.
Yes, we do.
What did you tell him you were going to do with the messages he was giving you?
I explained to Mr. Higgins that we have in our custody and will eventually get into both the defendant's phone and Mr. O'Keefe's phone so that protect his integrity as a law enforcement official. I told him that the information he was providing better be true and accurate or else he would suffer the consequences of the ulterior.
Did you in fact vet what he gave you?
Yes.
And before you vetted it, did he make any changes, additions, or subtractions from that information?
No, he did not.
And when you vetted that information, was there anything different from the alternative source, that being the defendant's phone, from his phone?
Not that I noticed, no.
Nor that exhibit or that document has been marked for identification. I'd like to introduce it as an exhibit. Should identification number is that? My apologies. I'll need to look. I don't know the number offhand.
Is the code is my
document? It's marked for identification.
No, it's actually. It was EE now.
Oh, it was introduced?
It was.
I didn't realize this has been introduced as Exhibit 150.
They were sitting down and playing a quick game of checkers on one of those large mats.
Like at Cracker Barrel?
Yes, at Cracker Barrel. Looks like Buchanan has just said, king me.
As part of your investigation, did
back.
You look to see if there was any animus or difficulty between Mr. Higgins and Mr. O'Keefe prior to Mr. O'Keefe's death?
Yes.
Did you look at text message records to see if there was any motive that was evidenced in those text messages for Mr. Higgins to want to murder Mr. O'Keefe.
I did look.
May I approach?
Yes.
I handed you a document. Do you recognize that package of materials?
Yes, I do.
And what is it?
It's the extraction printed out from Brian Higgins' phone, dated 2-3, meaning February 3rd, 2022. And it is a conversation between the defendant and Mr. Higgins.
Does it extend a number of different dates?
Yes, it does.
Did you look through those conversations or text messages to identify whether there was any animus or motive?
Yes, I did.
I'd move to introduce those documents as the next exhibit.
No objection, Your Honor.
Did you find any?
Hold on. 130.
Thank you. Trooper Buchanan, did you find any evidence in the conversation?
Hold on, I'm sorry.
Bev needs to figure out where to move the next checker piece.
Yeah, it takes time.
Oh, look at this. It's a double jump.
Sorry, go ahead.
My apologies.
It only makes sense if you're just listening to this.
When you study the materials, the conversation, communications between Brian Higgins and John O'Keefe, did you find any evidence shaping your investigation that there was a motive to harm, hurt, or murder Mr. O'Keefe by Mr. Higgins?
No, there was not.
I have no further questions at this time.
Is that our big part for that?
That was our big part.
Okay. Yeah. And he's still there. He's doing another full day on the stand. And there's more we'll look at here in just a moment at the end of cross. Thoughts on all of that?
I'm still astounded by the genes. Like, I don't recall, and maybe I forgot, but I didn't recall that there were grass stains on his butt.
Yeah, I remember that. Like, what are you, okay, you see that, what's your reaction to that?
So my reaction is, I can understand falling down and getting him on your knees. Where is it coming from if you land on your rear end? Like, did you fall backwards and were pushed? It doesn't seem like a typical way to go down. If you're stumbling around, you've got forward momentum. You're going to go down on the front part. It seems really hard to acquire grass stains on your butt, doesn't it?
No.
See where I'm going with this?
I just think he was stumbling around. I think the arm injuries are in part from the vehicle and in part from stumbling around on cold, hard grass that likely has little sticks and stuff in it because there's all those trees right there. So if you're ever out there in the cold and you're kind of, you know, just moving your arms to try and stabilize yourself, and it just kind of land on your butt eventually. That's kind of where I'm thinking it was. As I don't think he, I think his brain was just shutting down after those head injuries.
And that very well could be. I'm just having a hard time visualizing how he would have gotten. I mean, as a kid, I recall like sliding down hills and I'd get him on my rear end, but it was a very deliberate move. I'm just trying to picture somebody stumbling around and, I mean, we're top heavy as humans. We fall forward.
And he may have been propelled too. I mean, depending where he landed initially, or maybe that was his landing spot. I don't know. I could be completely wrong. I've just always believed from what I've seen is that he probably stumbled around a bit and then this is where he landed. And
that very well could be. And we're never going to know the truth.
No, I mean, Karen says he didn't look mortally wounded, so that would tell us that she saw something moving around. But that may not even be the truth. She may have known he is mortally wounded, and she inserted the knot in there because the other one is not very good, and then just took off. So,
yeah,
I don't know. That's why the trial is going on. Let's watch this last piece of the trial from today. This is a little bit of Cross with, is it Alan Jackson? Good old AJ?
Yeah, if you want to get your Alan Jackson fix, here it comes.
Here we go. Here's a little bitty of Alan Jackson.
I see what you did there.
On Country 105. Wah!
You showing the video?
Oh, I got to go over to that too.
Yeah.
You were just asked about Brian Higgins and your interview with Brian Higgins. Where did that take place?
In Sharon, at a an attorney's office.
At his lawyer's house, correct?
I'm not sure if he resides there, but there was an office.
With his lawyer present, correct?
Yes.
Do you find that unusual?
Objection.
Sustained.
He wasn't under arrest, correct?
No.
He hadn't read him his rights?
No need to know.
No need to, because he wasn't in custody.
Correct.
He's just a witness in a case that you're investigating.
That's correct.
But he asked that you interview him in his lawyer's presence.
Yes.
You were asked about any evidence of Brian Higgins having a motive to murder John O'Keefe just a few minutes ago by Mr. Brennan, right?
Yes.
And you said, no, I didn't find a motive that Brian Higgins would want to murder John O'Keefe. Is that right?
That's right.
Ludicrous idea.
What about a motive to confront him about a girl he was interested in? Do you see that?
I believe the text messages speak for themselves. Everybody heard me read them out loud.
Yep. The text messages do, but I'm asking you. You were just asked about your opinion, whether or not there was a motive that you found for Brian Higgins to want to murder John O'Keefe. I'm asking you a different question. Did you, in your mind, in your opinion, after having read those texts, find a motive for Brian Higgins to perhaps want to confront John O'Keefe because of jealousy?
If you're asking for my opinion is that he would need to confront Mr. O'Keefe. Mr. O'Keefe was not the one pursuing Mr. Higgins. It was your client that was pursuing Mr. Higgins.
Okay.
Ooh, out.
Well, text messages, like you said, speak for themselves. Owie. Really pretty much. So there was a mutual interest, right? He just wasn't one side.
Aloe.
At times there was... At times there was flattering text messages from both sides, but your client reached out to him first.
I mean, somebody's got to reach out, right? Everybody's got to reach out to somebody. Someone's going to do it first, right?
Well, it depends.
That doesn't mean that there's not mutual affection for one another. Is that right? Or at least perceived mutual affection.
I don't understand the question.
Did you see in those text messages, in your mind, a motive that might lead to jealousy on the part of Brian Higgins?
No, I think Brian Higgins was pretty clear in his request for explanation of what the defendant wanted out of this, and stated that he's friends with Mr. O'Keefe. So he wanted clarity from the defendant about what was going on.
Go ahead.
I didn't read it to be that he was jealous as I sit here thinking back on the content.
What about after drinking Jameson and ginger all night long and sending a text that said, well?
Objection.
Might that change things?
I don't know what Mr. Higgins' state of mind was. I'm well. could mean many different things. They could have had a face-to-face interaction, a look. We'd be strictly speculating what was intended by that, or what was the intent of communication by that text message.
Look at him playing lawyer.
And then seeing her walk in the door with John O'Keefe and sending the text message, well, after having been intoxicated. You see that, detective, as an investigator, as a reasonable, objective investigator, as a possible scenario for Brian Higgins to be jealous about John O'Keefe.
There's a possibility there, but I didn't see it.
Did you explore that possibility when you got all these text messages?
We did not follow up on that aspect based on the totality of the entire investigation.
Did you pull the tape at the waterfall and review the tape as we did here in court?
Did that happen? Yes.
Okay. Did you see on the tape a time just before Brian Higgins left the location where he was confronted by Chris Alger?
Yeah.
Name's the murder.
Sure. Did you see a circumstance? Did you see the situation on that tape where Brian Higgins is standing and Chris Albert physically puts his hand on Brian Higgins' arm, on his left arm?
I don't have a specific memory of that.
You remember a circumstance on that tape where Brian Higgins pulled his arm away and looked past Chris Albert over toward the bar, which is where John O'Keefe was standing.
I do remember you pointing that out, but we couldn't tell who exactly he was looking at based on the video.
Did you see a circumstance in which Brian Higgins then put his hand on his forehead and rubbing his forehead like this?
I don't have a memory of that.
Did you see a circumstance in which he then motioned over toward that side of the bar in his left hand?
That I remember, yes.
Did that seem realistic to you? Let me ask it a different way.
Did he do the hokey pokey and turn it all around?
Sounds like it.
Come on outside.
Sounds like somebody has a headache.
Come here.
Very reasonable, since they've been invited to 34 Fairview.
Did it look, in your opinion, that that was just a, hey, let's go together? Or did it look more you like, hey, come outside? Or step outside.
The totality of the investigation, the fact that when they stepped outside, there was no confrontation and they were invited to the address. Again, totality of the investigation suggests otherwise.
Let's talk about that totality of the investigation. You're aware that Brian Higgins left first, the first to arrive at 34 Fairview, even before Brian Alvin.
Okay.
I am, yes.
And you're also aware that John O'Keefe and Karen Reed were among the last to arrive. But they didn't step outside.
They didn't step outside, but once he was invited, according to your narrative, wouldn't they have a discussion outside where he was invited to come out?
So, Mr. Jackson, I just want to ask you, how much longer?
Not long. I can finish this up. If you give me 10 minutes.
Jurors are saying yes. Is it okay with all the jurors? We usually break.
I will overstep. I'm having to stop now, but I think I can get it. I'd
like to finish with this witness and not have to bring it back again tomorrow.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate the accommodation.
Yeah, it feels like he's reaching, doesn't it?
You're aware that,
yes,
according to the tape, John O'Keefe left about 10 minutes after Brian Higgins. Or so.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay. You would agree, as a homicide investigator, not every death starts off as an intended murder, correct?
I will agree.
Where are we going?
Sometimes a fight could go wrong, and you intend to fight and duke it out. Something goes wrong, something goes south, someone dies, right?
Objection.
It's
a weird avenue. So he's thinking that they were fighting and he just happened to die?
You were asked on...
It's insinuating the house examination fight.
About...
Yeah.
I think it's more likely that it could have been Karen Reed chucking a glass at his head.
I want to ask you real quick about that. Your testimony was you recall that the CERT team found a large piece of red taillight material during their initial search. Is that correct?
That's my recollection, yes.
Okay. Did the CERT, you had a debriefing with the CERT team, correct?
Not the CERT team. I had a debrief with the members of our unit at the Canton PD conference room. I do not have a memory of the CERT team being there.
Do you recall ever being told or informed that the CERT team actually recovered maybe 5 or 6 pieces, maybe 7 pieces of small plastic material in addition to the shoe? As opposed to a large piece of red taillight.
The memory that stands out to me that I have is that there was a large piece of plastic recovered. It wasn't a shard. It was significant enough that, you know, shown on the photograph taken by Detective Lieutenant Tully.
And do you recall that the CERT team, or were you ever informed that the CERT team found those, according to the CERT team, within inches of one another, within about a 2-foot square radius?
I don't have a memory of where they found them exactly. I wasn't there.
Okay. You were asked about the taillight. You were shown a photograph of the taillight where almost the entirety of that lens material is missing, gone, correct?
Yes.
And you remember talking to Jen McCade originally, interviewing her within days of this incident happening, correct?
It was the 29th.
We interviewed. That's the day.
The day, yes.
Do you remember her saying that the taillight was cracked/broken?
She communicated that over the phone to Michael Proctor, which was then documented later on in the interview report.
Okay.
From earlier.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And it was documented within the interview report.
Okay. And in that interview report, it doesn't say the entire lens cap of that taillight is gone. Correct?
Correct. The report does not say that, no.
And she didn't describe that, did she?
I don't know what she described to Micah Proctor over the phone.
You pulled out a pair of jeans belonging to Mr. O'Keefe just a second ago.
Yes.
And you noted that on his... what would be his left rear pocket, there was a stain?
Yes.
You said that was an apparent grass stain, and it was green.
Based on my observation here holding them, that's what it appeared, yes. Maybe dirt, maybe other substances. Defense.
Could he have landed on the leprechaun?
That was my question. Did you seek to analyze what that discoloration was from? Or have caused that to be analyzed by the crime lab or anybody else?
The genes were processed. I don't know what their protocol is to analyze it. They process those genes. There's pieces missing from cuttings and stuff like
Understood.
That.
Understood. So as you sit here, you have no evidence at all that those are grass stains, correct?
Strictly my experience of knowing grass stains and observing it.
Could be dirt.
Could
it's
be.
Part of a grass stain.
Could be oil or grease.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that, but...
They look brown. Stains look brown, don't they?
There's different parts of the stain. Some has brown, some has green. Different parts. Yeah.
I don't think he's ever had a grass stain.
In your experience, stains on the back of pants from being dragged.
No. Those are not dragged.
I've never dragged anybody, so I, from my experience, I can't tell you.
I didn't ask if you've ever dragged anybody. You've never murdered anybody either, but you're a homicide investigator.
Alan, it might be time for lunch.
My common sense dictates that it was not a drag a mark because it would have linear characterizations, yeah. And it would be both buttocks that are engaged in contact with the ground while being dragged.
Being dragged. And he had something in his pocket,
or being dragged at an angle. Dragged through a free spot, only on the left. That all was impossible.
Again, my opinion, common sense dictates it was not the case.
But you certainly didn't take any action to investigate the forensically what those stains actually were.
I did not know.
By the way, can you lose a shoe from being dragged?
Of course, anything could happen.
It depends. I guess you can, depending on how loose it is.
You said that there was no information that you had regarding Brian Higgins and John O'Keefe having any animosity toward each other prior to January 29th, 2022, correct?
Correct.
But you did, we talked about, now let's talk about on January 29th, 2022. In your experience, does drinking alcohol increase a likelihood or increase the possibility of getting into an altercation?
I would say, in my experience, in my opinion, the alcohol could become a social lubricant and exacerbate emotions. But to speak in a definitive form here, I can't.
You've heard of beer muscles. That's a common phrase, right?
Never heard that before, no.
Beer guts? Ever heard that one?
I've heard of beer gut, but not beer guts.
Having the guts to walk up to someone you might not otherwise walk up to in a bar because you've had too much to drink. Is that what beer muscles could mean?
I would say maybe liquid courage.
Even better. What does liquid courage mean?
Giving you courage that truly shouldn't be there.
That you might not otherwise have if you weren't drinking.
Yeah.
That's a lot of speculation.
It is.
I won't be much longer. You had evidence that Brian Higgins had been drinking most of the afternoon and evening that night at the time that John O'Keefe and Karen Reed walked into the waterfall, correct?
I had information that Brian Higgins had returned from a police officer's funeral and then went to waterfall after he changed clothes and took a shower.
Went to the hillside before he went to the waterfall, started drinking there, correct?
I don't have an independent memory of that, no.
But you did, at the time, you didn't pull the tape at Gesundheit. At the time, you didn't pull the tape at CPD that we saw with Brian Higgins on the phone at 1:30 in the morning, correct? You didn't have that information?
I'm sorry, give me a reference when
sure,
at the time?
At the beginning of your investigation, January 29th and probably the next, let's call it a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
You did not have that information, correct?
No, we did not.
And you didn't seek that information from CPD at that time?
No, I had no information that he went there.
Okay. And you didn't extract his phone, correct?
That's correct.
And finally, you indicated that you were asked on redirect examination, did you have any evidence that John actually went into the home? Did you ever interview Trooper Guarino during the course of your investigation, anytime?
Interview him?
Talk to him about his extraction of John O'Keefe's phone and any of the data that came off of his phone.
No.
You did not realize that Trooper Guarino had information that John O'Keefe took 36 steps covering a distance of some 84 feet that would have placed Mr. O'Keefe inside the residence at 12:32:16.
Objection.
Did you have any information from Trooper Guarino about steps that were logged on Mr. O'Keefe's phone?
No, I did not.
That it, Mr. Jackson? You said finally. That's what I'm wanting.
She wants to be done.
May I have just a moment? I'm trying to wrap this up. I only have a couple more things, but I may be able to finish it with one.
Less is more.
as you sit here now, are you aware of whether or not there's evidence that John O'Keefe, the phone describes John O'Keefe's phone taking 36 steps, covering a distance of about 84 feet at 12:32 and 16 seconds on the morning of January 29th, 2022?
Objection.
Can you answer that anymore?
I am not, Your Honor.
But the answer is?
The answer was?
No, I'm not aware of that.
All right.
Sorry.
Sure, as I appreciate you staying, so truly.
She is hungry.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you.
Those same cautions, please do not discuss this case.
She's got a order placed at Taco Bell she has to get over to.
Well, so. I mean, if you let it sit too long, yeah. Those soft shells can get really weird. Like, you don't want that meat to get cold.
You don't want a soft. You don't want a hard shell to get soft. That's what, you know. Are you saying the meat gets weird?
Well, yeah. Have you ever eaten a cold Taco Bell taco?
Yeah.
It's not good.
I don't mind it. I don't mind a cold Taco Bell taco.
Oh, I can't do it.
Crack one open on a hot summer day and
Taco Bell taco. I have standards. I'm sorry. I can't.
Well, you throw it in the microwave and the tortilla gets too hot. And by the time that cools down, everything's cool on the ends. It's a hard one to reheat effectively.
I agree with that. But yeah, I'm not going to eat a cold one. I mean, the congealed grease on the meat, I know. So I understand her need to get going.
Yeah. She's got to get that order before it congeals.
Yeah.
There you go. Some testimony from the trial of Karen Reed today. Again, I don't think I don't feel like Alan Jackson's making any progress here.
No, I the first trial, I thought he really did a great job. This one, it's like, dude, I don't know.
Karen is her biggest enemy. She has sunk herself so many times with her own words now in this damn thing. It's pretty stunning.
I don't think he's got much to work with.
I don't think he does. It's more so a battle of what are you going to remember at the end of the day and what's going to stick with you emotionally.
Yeah.
And they got to humanize Karen Reed. I think she's, and I don't know that it's a good idea at all if she were to take the stand.
I think she's already taken the stand. I think all of those clips, that's her on the stand.
But Karen's not naturally a warm and fuzzy person at all. So, but she'd almost need to present like that on the stand. Because if you get the same Karen Reed on the stand that's in all those videos, that would just decimate her even more. So how do you make her likable?
I need some tears. Her boyfriend died.
Well,
I need to see some sadness, something, red eyes, tears streaming, something.
Yeah.
He died.
There's an indifference there that is, it's stunning. I don't care that it's been that long. And yes, you probably have mentally healed as much as you can. I don't know, whatever you've done. But it's such a coldness. And come on, at least pretend. Because socially, what you're presenting is very cold. And if you have any interest in not going to prison for the rest of your life, suck it up, buttercup.
You need to do the best performance of your life.
Yes, because nobody's loving the...
Yeah.
And flipping off people. I mean, it's very five-year-old-ish, just like the text messages between her and Higgins.
Yeah.
Like the social
maturity
is.
Yeah, there's not a lot of depth there.
Oh my God. I would think she would do that just in her own self-interest. I don't know what she's trying to come across as this badass, you know.
You can be badass as a woman and still show some emotion.
She's coming across as bad.
I think we've all had a fight with somebody and maybe not. I remember I said some really shitty things. My dad was a horrible human being, but I said some really shitty things to him. And then the next day he had a massive coronary and died. So my last interaction with my father when I was 25 years old, basically told him to go fuck himself. Mm-hmm. So I've had to live with that my entire life.
Sure.
And I could still get choked up about it, even though he was a shitty person. This was her boyfriend, and she got into a fight with him, and then he died, possibly because of something she did. And she, I haven't seen any emotion other than anger from her.
No.
I haven't seen any remorse. I haven't seen despair. I haven't seen anguish. I haven't seen anything from her. That's a lot. Like, what's going on there? What happened? Who didn't hug you as a child?
I mean, some people are not capable.
Apparently.
And when you can't read the room, you know, your reactions are just very much based on how you're feeling. And
yeah.
Empathy is something you don't learn. It's either there or it's not. You can fake it if you're like emulating other people, but unless you know what to do and you're like able to kind of learn it, it's like a muscle that's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if she has it or not. I don't know. I would think maybe some element of it, but who knows? I mean, there are people that just, it ain't there. And that's what it's looking like.
Yeah.
At least that's how she's presenting herself, in my opinion, right now. It needs to be a little more warm. Because if you haven't noticed, Karen, there's like four or five people out in front of the courthouse for you now. Just saying, something must have happened.
Eesh.
But yeah. All right, there you go. That's the latest on good old Karen today.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.